All right, welcome back to Talkin' Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley, and it's my pleasure to welcome in our next guest. He covers the Los Angeles Dodgers for The Athletic, Fabian Ardaya. My friend, it's great to have a fellow Sun Devil on the show. How are you today?
Good. It's so weird to hear someone saying I'm covering the Dodgers now. It hasn't fully set in, but glad to be on.
You know, back in February when we were down in spring training hanging out a little bit, I don't think either of us would have envisioned you covering Albert Pujols in a Dodgers uniform in the month of May and me covering Scott Kazmir in a Giants uniform this early in the season. But that's exactly what happened. They went up against each other yesterday. It's kind of a cool story. You know, these guys are two of the last remaining guys from the early 2000s, and they're still kicking it in the major leagues.
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird. Like watching that matchup yesterday, I was almost asking myself, what year is it? Just considering, like, how relevant those guys were from, like, a previous era, it feels. And now, all of a sudden, they're both kind of on their last legs a bit with teams that we didn't expect them to be with. But, obviously, they're both on good teams and finding some level of success so far.
Before we get into this, I want to ask you real quick. Do you remember Major League Baseball without Albert Pujols? Because I know you're a few years younger than me.
Not really. Because he debuted in 2001, so I would have been about to turn 4 years old. So, no.
That is incredible. And now you talk to Pujols regularly. You've covered him with the Angels and now with the Dodgers. Great stuff, Fabian. So I want to ask you about Walker Buehler, because Trevor Bauer's the guy who's gotten all the hype in Los Angeles after signing the big contract this offseason. Clayton Kershaw's the future Hall of Famer, the ace. But to me, Walker Buehler is as tough as any pitcher in that Dodger rotation. What makes him so good in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy who, if you think about, like, his track record, like, he's their big game guy. He's the guy who pitched game 163 a few years back when I think it was his first full season of the big leagues, pitched game 163 against the Rockies. He's pitched World Series games and performed at the highest level. He's a guy who will bring it up and ramp it up for the highest level, and he's a guy who competes. Like, he throws, I think, like, 71% fastball, I saw, one of the higher rates of in the game. And, like, he will attack you with pitches, doesn't walk a lot of guys, and he's a guy who's going to go come right after you. His stuff is right up there with just about anyone in the game. So I think he's the guy who, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's considered in that Bauer Kershaw class by the time he's done, just because of the quality of stuff he has, the way he competes on the mound, and his, I mean, he's a really smart guy. He's able to put stuff together really well, and he's as dangerous as anyone.
We've already talked on this show about Julio Urias, the Dodgers' Sunday starter, but I want to ask you specifically about Julio Urias against left-handers, because it seems like he has been dominant, against righties. It seems like he's been really good against lefties this season. Is there any sort of a weakness against righties, or is he someone who can kind of neutralize hitters from both sides of the plate?
I think it depends on, like, if you see today, like, how often he goes to his changeup, because I know he's usually fastball changeup, and that breaking ball, that slurve-type breaking ball that he's sort of adopted this year, it's been a really lethal pitch. But his changeup has sometimes been really, really good, and that's when you've seen him really be lights out, and then he's had outings like his last one where the numbers were still really good. He was facing a lineup that had a lot of left-handers in it, so it still worked out. But his changeup wasn't quite there with the feel. So I think that changeup, obviously, if you think about, like, sort of the opposite side of where you throw from, that changeup is usually the pitch that is most effective in neutralizing those hitters. So it just depends on how good that changeup is going for him today.
Good perspective on the Dodgers. We're talking Giants-Dodgers with Fabian Ardaya. He just transitioned into a role covering the team. He was covering the Angels for The Athletic. Now he's with the Dodgers, kind enough to join us this morning before these two sides go at it for the series finale. Dave Roberts on Friday night was very complimentary of the intensity, the electricity, and the atmosphere at Oracle Park. Said it really felt like a rivalry game for the first time in a few years, and it really felt like a big rivalry game between the Giants and the Dodgers, Fabian. And, you know, with all the attention that's been paid to the Padres and the Dodgers this season, do you think that Roberts was excited to get back to this Giants-Dodgers classic rivalry that we've known for our whole lives and everyone following this rivalry has known for their whole lives?
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, also Roberts obviously has a unique perspective because he's played on both sides of it. So he's obviously been very attached. He understands where the Giants come from in this sort of rivalry. I think everyone is sort of – I think it's a pleasant surprise in the sense of how competitive the Giants have been in this division. I think everyone kind of – I mean, myself included, I thought they'd be a good team. I thought they'd be a chance, had a really good chance to finish above 500, and they were doing a lot of really smart things with under Farhan Zaidi. But, I mean, they've been having the best record in the National League for most of the season so far, and obviously now they're behind the Padres. They both are, but by a half game. So this is a really tough three-team race in the NL West. I think it'll be interesting to see, like, how these – I mean, obviously the – Dodgers-Giants matchups go, and Dodgers-Padres, but also Giants-Padres. I think all three of those have a chance to really build something special over the course of this year.
Well, it's been really compelling baseball between all of these teams. We've seen the Giants handle business against the Padres, kept things really close on Friday night. They got away from them in the middle innings on Saturday after Scott Kazmir came out of the game. But going back to Friday night, I still can't get over Trevor Bauer. His antics on the mound, the energy that he brought, and just the way that he embraced the villain role that he almost assumed that he would have to play in this rivalry. What did you think of the way that Bauer kind of lived up to that label that he's had in this rivalry?
I don't think there was a single thing he did Friday night that really surprised me. So I think that might answer your question. Just because I think you had an idea of, like, he grew up in Southern California. He understands the rivalry. This is his first chance to really pitch in it. First chance to face the Giants ever, I believe. I mean, he has, and he's the guy who likes to play up to what's going on. Like, he will try to bring attention to himself, and that's just sort of like the way type of person he is. And also on the mound, I mean, I think everyone kind of knew coming off a bullpen game the day before, the bullpen was really depleted. I think they only had four available relievers, one of which was Nate Jones, who hadn't even been in the organization until a week prior. So, I mean, they knew he was going to have to throw as many pitches as possible. He threw 126, which was one short of his career high. And then when I sort of mentioned that he was like, it was a start where he had to empty the tank, he sort of rebuffed that and asked, like, who said he was emptying the tank after 126 pitches. And he might have a point because his last pitch was 96 miles an hour. But, like, I think there's nothing about what he did Friday that was really all that surprising. He's pitched incredibly well in a Dodgers uniform, and he's brought everything about Trevor Bauer that has been Trevor Bauer the last few years.
Gabe Kapler did say that one of the most impressive elements of Bauer's performance on Friday was the fastball got better as the night wore on, even into that 100-110-120 pitch range. So you make a good point there, Fabian. And I'm wondering, you only started covering the team a few weeks ago, and since that point, the Dodgers have been red hot, better than the Padres in the division, and a threat to take over first place in the National League West now. If there is a weakness to this 2021 team, what is it?
I think the depth maybe isn't as strong as it has been in years past. I think that's been sort of revealed itself a little bit so far, and that's probably why they brought in Albert Pujols. That's why they brought in Yoshi Tsutsugo. They don't have a Kike Hernandez. They don't have a Jock Peterson like they have in years past, where, like, you feel like 1 through 38 on this roster was enough to beat you. It felt like they had, like, the Dodgers had, like, this 36-man roster at times rather than 26. But obviously, that's not as much of the case this year. They've been without Cody Bellinger for pretty much the entire year. Been without Tony Gonsolin the entire year. Now they're without Justin May for the rest of the year. Corey Seager's out with a broken hand. Like, they have a lot of really integral pieces, guys who would be playing frontline roles for a lot of teams in the league who are out and missing time. And obviously they've been able to tread water so far. Their starting pitching is the main reason why they have been able to. But their bullpen has obviously not been as deep as they'd like it to be, even though Kenley Jansen has performed better this year. And their lineup, while on the whole being pretty good, it's not as long. It doesn't go 1 through 8 like it has in years past. It goes to, like, that top 4 or 5, and it drops off a little bit from there.
Gosh, perspective is everything. You talk about the Dodgers treading water 10 games over 500. I think every Giants fan heading into spring training would have been elated if you'd heard that the Giants would be 10 games over 500 if they are at this point in the season. I want to ask you about Mookie Betts, a former American League MVP, World Series legend. He's so good when the bright lights come on, but it just hasn't been the hottest start to the season for Mookie Betts. There's been talk that he's been struggling against left-handed pitching, even though his OPS is still over 800 against southpaws over the last few seasons. What have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, I mean, like, he's shown flashes for sure. And, like, he'll have, like, these little moments. Where, like, he'll hit the ball hard fairly often. It's just, I mean, he's been a good player this year. He just hasn't been the MVP-level Mookie that we've seen in years past. I mean, obviously some of the like the sprint speed stuff is down a little bit, and you have to wonder a little bit if he's still playing through some of the back issues he dealt with earlier on in the year. The Dodgers say he's healthy, but obviously there's something that's been it feels like it's been holding him back a little bit. He hasn't quite been able to catch fire, like you mentioned. I wonder if obviously he had the day off yesterday. I wonder if they try to intersperse some days off over the course of the year, and maybe it's something that corrects itself. And once he catches fire, obviously we know the type of talent he could be.
Looking at the Giants-Dodgers matchup this afternoon, series finale between these two teams, and they'll go back at it for four games in Los Angeles next week. And doing it with Fabian Ardaya, he covers the Dodgers for The Athletic. But before you were in this role, you covered the Angels, and I want to ask you about Shohei Ohtani, who just seems to be the most mesmerizing player I've ever seen. What was it like to see Ohtani on a day-to-day basis, going from mashing long home runs to throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs? That had to be an absolute joy to cover.
Yeah, I think I was like saying this the other day. I mean, like Mike Trout is the best player I've ever seen, best player I will probably ever cover. But Shohei Ohtani is the most electrifying player I'll ever cover. And he might be the best athlete I've ever seen in person, period, regardless of sport, just because of the amount of different things he can do on the baseball field. I think you saw, I was watching last night because obviously the Angels are playing later than the Giants-Dodgers national game. I was watching last night, watching him take a weak dribbler through the middle and sort of stretch that into a double. He's able to bang a triple off the wall. Like, he can do just about everything on a baseball field. His speed is underrated. He's got incredible power. I would love to see him at the Home Run Derby at Coors Field this year. And obviously, his stuff is as good as anyone's. And even when the stuff isn't as good, I think his last start, like, his velocity was way down. He was still really effective just because he knows how to pitch. Like, he is incredibly talented. And I think the Angels, I mean, he's the best thing going for the Angels right now.
Absolutely. No question in my mind. Do you have a favorite Ohtani moment through the few years that you covered him? Anything that just stands out as, you know, this is superhuman, this is electric?
I think, I mean, there's something, because when I first started covering him was like that last month in 2018 before he first started having the elbow issues. The first time I got to really see him, like, full strength doing both was really the spring. And I think just that Sunday night baseball game, it doesn't even, like, it's just that sequence of him going out on the mound at top of the first inning, hitting 101, and then not even 10 minutes later, first pitch is hitting a ball. Because I know, obviously, ESPN mics on that field mics are, like, really loud, and they, like, sort of juice them up a little bit. But being in the ballpark for that one, it was just as loud, that contact off the bat. That ball really just rocketed off his bat, and it was really something else to watch.
No question. You've covered a lot of great players, and now you're covering a great team in the Dodgers. So a lot of fun. Fabian Ardaya, thank you so much for joining us. Go Sun Devils. Appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right. He is Fabian Ardaya, new Dodgers writer for The Athletic. Does a great job. Before we go to break here, a few Giants notes from this morning, wrapping up a few things. The Giants made a pregame roster move. Matt Whistler is going on the bereavement list. He's leaving the club to attend services for his grandmother, so we wish him the best. Condolences to the Whistler family as he leaves the club this week. So Sam Selman is up. He is joining the bullpen on Sunday. Left-handed pitcher was optioned earlier this week when the Giants brought Nick Tropiano onto the squad as well. So Matt Whistler on the bereavement list. And a few lineup notes. Gabe Kapler did talk about Bill's question. Why is Mauricio Dubon at third base? Why is Donovan Solano at second base? They want to keep Donovan Solano comfortable. He's coming back from the injured list. Yes, he does have third base experience, but he hasn't played it this season. Dubon, seen as the rangier athlete, the more flexible guy who can go from position to position and not lose anything. So that's why they did that. Did not address Buster Posey, but the Giants may have him available off the bench today as a pinch hitter. They've been reluctant to do that this season, but you feel like they would make an exception for the rivalry game against the Dodgers, especially in the late innings if this game is close. So Marty and Bill have already mentioned it. Anthony DeSclafani, Julio Urias, a tremendous pitching matchup for this Sunday series finale, headed out to Oracle Park. Soon more on this Giants postgame show. We got a few more guests, Marcus Breton, Adam Copeland. We'll go in the booth with a Giants broadcaster. A lot more coming up here on Talkin' Baseball. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.